Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, today is Monday, July 1st, 2013, but it really isn't. It's Sunday, but it's actually going to be whatever day you decided to listen to this show, since so many of you download it. This is Foxology, and this is Silver Ray Fox. Welcome. I guess I should probably be saying welcome back. I know that I've been on a little bit of a hiatus. Well, I did not plan it that way. It just worked out that way, but I rolled with it, and during that time, I promote a lot of the other Foxology shows that had aired during the first half of 2013. I hope you got a chance to listen. They were really some good ones, too, but if you didn't get a chance to listen, please, you know, check them out. Let this be an invitation to you and your friends to do just that. Well, I hope your week is getting off to a good start already. I want to ask you a question. What's your mindset? Are you expecting things to go well today? Expecting things to go well every day? Are you anticipating good things to happen to you? Are you thinking positive things and looking for positive happenings to occur during your day? Well, I'll tell you what, it's a way of honoring our thinking and our expectations. Yes, if you want happiness for real and positive things for real, you will have to start creating and manifesting that. Things like peace, prosperity, people, places in your life that you know make you feel your best, that bring out your best and cause you to live at your best. Well, you know, for some folks that means eliminating some, if not a lot, of drama that goes on from day to day. Yes, it has to stop for you to be your best healthy self and to have a happy, healthy life. Today, my radio BFF, the multi-talented, multifaceted superstar RRR and one of the grand hosts of Real Milwaukee, joins me again today to talk about stopping the show, closing the curtain on the drama in your life. Welcome, Cassandra McShepherd. How are you doing today, sis?
I'm fine, Silver. Thank you so much for having me again. I love these Mastermind Mondays, even if it happens on a Sunday. Mastering the mind is something that should be a daily practice, I should say.
I'm glad that you can be available to do it. I really, really am. Well, we know that we're doing the show a little bit early because of a time factor in my day tomorrow, but that's okay. I'll start promoting it and showing up. It'll be showing up in all the places I generally do as Master Your Mindset Monday, but it works any day of the week. So you're right. It certainly has its value and doesn't really matter what day of the week it really is. But we've certainly got a mind full to talk about today. That's for sure. I imagine everybody who could tune an ear into this, whether they do live or later, can relate to the fact that drama is something that can show up on the stage of anybody's life at anybody's time. Some of the things we'll be talking about is how and why and what do you do about it when it does. I'm going to start with a short story that I already read to you. This particular author has a blog called Little Buddha, and I just want to kickstart it with what she says about drama in her own life. We won't really be following her exact guidelines for overcoming it, because I know that both you and I have perspectives and tips we definitely can share, maybe similar but definitely different. But I want to share it because I want everybody to truly understand the essence of what we're talking about and how it shows up and rears its ugly head. But here's her story. It's from, again, a website called Tiny Buddha, Simple Wisdom for Complex Lives. The title of it is Seven Crucial Steps to Minimize Drama in Your Life, and it's by Lori Deshine. And here's what she says. Well into my 20s, all of my friendships with women looked like junior high. One day we'd be codependent and attached at the hip, sending incessant play-by-play emails throughout the workday, like one too many notes in class. The next day we'd be dragging each other by the hair into a heap of combined emotional issues, complete with nasty suspicions, unfounded accusations, and a dramatic reconciliation that would inevitably be short-lived. Shortly after one toxic friendship ended, I found a new one, like a mythological creature that regenerates its head immediately after it's cut off. Things weren't much different with the men I dated. For a long time, I lamented at all the damaging relationships I'd been in, as if I was some kind of victim who always got the short end of the stick. Then one day, I realized there was a reason I found myself in dramatic relationships. I was attracted to drama like a moth to a flame. Chaos was the status quo for the majority of my life, and when it wasn't there, I panicked. I didn't feel comfortable unless I was fighting with someone or at the very least fighting myself. The things I said and did contradicted because it was easier to blame the world and stay the same than it would be really to see myself and make a change. You may not be a recovering drama queen like me, but you probably encountered your share of relationship issues. Maybe your close friend has many catastrophes, as there are days in the week. Maybe you're the person everyone calls with their problems, or maybe you unknowingly turn small issues into major crises, and you'd like to stop feeling so overwhelmed. And that's what she says, and that brings us to our point today, stopping the drama, pulling the curtain on your own issues. So we're going to get started with that. That was, again, a mindful for us to roll with today, Cassandra. You know, you always have such a great story. I won't put you on the spot like that, but I'll ask this. I deal with what she said almost every day, not of my own self, but I am in an environment where I am constantly teaching and training people how to overcome that kind of thing at work. Statistics show us behavioral issues and drama occur in approximately 85% of people at work on a daily basis, which is, ooh, that's a hard pill to swallow. So one of my jobs is to go in and try to fix toxic situations and relationships among coworkers. And I tell you, that's no easy job. I have to almost pray myself into a supernatural state before I go in to talk about it.
Praying yourself.
And I'm not kidding.
Supernatural state. I love it.
God, I'm so not kidding. It is just it feels like, you know, you want to go in because you've been picked as the authority, so you want to go in and know what you're talking about and be ready for it.
Right.
And it's just amazing all the things that go on in the workplace that have, well, I will say the majority of it doesn't have a lot to do with work. So I understand this situation probably better than a lot of people might, as far as the experience of it and maybe offering some solutions, which we're both going to do. But what do you say when it comes to issues of this sort?
Well, several things, Silver. Yes, I do have a story. You know, I'm full of stories because life
don't
is
I
such,
know.
life is such a never-ending school. As a matter of fact, Gary Zukav in Seeds of the Soul calls life the life school, and it is a place for learning and working things out. I think for many of us get it twisted, is that we think that we are to be teachers of our fellow, when the reality, as I have come to know it, is that we are to learn ourselves and teach if we do by having learned certain lessons in life. But when I think about Brahman, I love the piece that you read because it so reminds me of myself. I would suppose that I am a self-confessed recovering a drama queen, and you know, and recovery is a is a 12-step process. Sometimes I hover between trying to make the first step, because many situations, if not most situations, bring about opportunities to learn and relearn the things that we thought we had mastered. When I think about what she spoke about in relationships, I got a glimpse of myself about 13 years or so ago, when my brother was dying of kidney cancer, and I was blessed enough to have a partner in my life at that time. And I remember looking up several times in the midst of my grief and drama that self-imposed and what seemed to be imposing upon me, and be pleasantly surprised that he was still there, whereas so many in the past seemed to flee so quickly. And then I got a glimpse of myself. You see, I was busy with the business of death and disease and last life issues, and so caught up with my brother and attempting to be there for him in any way that would be of value to him. And it really brought life to the core as life was slipping away from him. But what I realized about myself was I was a different person. A lot of the trivial, petty, small things that I would be so quick to judge that someone had done in the past, I wasn't doing because I was busy. And it occurred to me that I was a kinder, sweeter place to be. And so this man was able to stay, versus the kind of drama that I would create. And as the author said, see myself as victim of. And the reality was I was creating it because of habits, because of a lack of information, a lack of self-confidence. I created the same kind of situations that would inevitably push, if not invite or kick somebody out of my life. And it was a really wonderful lesson to learn about myself, that at any point in time, if I chose to do the relationship part of a relationship with an openness and an acceptance of what somebody was bringing to the table versus criticizing and judging, then it would be a better place to be. I would be a better place to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you brought up one of the areas I wanted to hit on first, Cassandra, because I imagine that if you are a chronic dramatization person, I don't want to say necessarily kings or queens, although that I know
that's
the...
Don't take my crown. I'm sorry, go on.
A lot of it I know stems from, you said habit, but I know it's just been ingrained in lots of personalities, persons, that they grew up in an environment that was toxic, that they grew up in an environment where yelling was the normal tone used in the household, that there were always things going on that were problems and crisis and chaos. And so when you step out into life and try to do life, you're just doing what you know. It's
precisely.
It's been your existence, and you kind of don't even recognize what other people are doing the way they do it.
Or what you're doing.
That's right. When they're living a, you know, virtually normal or healthier type of existence. So you bring that into every situation, because that's the only type of engagement that you know. It's the only thing you understand. It's what gets you to get the reactions and the responses that you're accustomed to, be they negative, every time. And so why don't we first of all talk about breaking that consciousness and that habitual behavior. I know you probably don't know this. I'm going to share it with you now, but when I'm teaching conflict resolution, I often use a quote. Every time I teach this class, I actually use a quote from you. About people who are argumentative, about people who want to start fights, about people who want to just be in the mix of, I gotta be right. And you always say, I don't want to be right, I just want to be right. And I use that in conflict resolution. And I say to the group, I say, what does that mean? What do you think that means? And they look stumped for a minute until they really think about it. I say, yeah, it's exactly that. If you want a situation to resolve the best, you want the best results, does it matter if you are the one that's right? If it's somebody else's right, you just want it to be the right outcome. And that's I think that it sets forth such a powerful consciousness, Cassandra, when you say that, because the healthy place that we want to land is in the right place with the right results, with the right thing occurring. And if people go away from this conversation with nothing else today to think, I don't want to be right, I just want to be right, that's so easy to remember. It's catchy. It's a Cassandra-ism. And I would say run with that. Not walk with it, run with it. You don't have to be right. Just want things to be right.
Let me say, because what I say, and you got it, but what I say is I don't need to be right. I just want to be right. And I think of that as it comes, of course, in situations of conflict, oftentimes conversations or arguments with someone, it's I don't need to win the argument, conversation. I don't need to be the one that has the information. Information is an interesting thing. It is free for all when you choose to accept it. You choose to accept it. But what I know, or what you know, or where any person is at any given time in their life is where they are, and they can advance past that point when they are ready. Well, to hold somebody hostage to knowing what you know, or believing as you do, or doing as you do, is a prescription for drama at its highest form. And I will easily, gladly, always surrender in any situation. I just want the right information. I don't need to be the one that has the information at any given time, and that moves me from, again, holding my position, holding other people hostage, and holding moving forward at bay, to learning. I don't necessarily walk away from those situations feeling that I did not have the right information, but I walk away from those situations without conflict and truly in my heart, because I applaud, accept, and encourage everybody's right to be exactly where they are without judgment, for real.
Yes. So what we're saying then to people, and as I said, I just love that you said that. I've never let myself forget that. And as I said, every time I have an opportunity to use it when I'm teaching, I do. And it just sets the right consciousness again in a person's thinking. And what you just said and what I follow it up with is saying, it's okay. Change your thinking to allow yourself to be wrong if you are wrong. Break the mindset that says, I have to be right, and I'm going to argue it even though I know the other person is right. I still have to win. Break the consciousness of wanting to be right. It's okay to be wrong. We can't be right about everything. Be vulnerable enough to be wrong and say, I guess what I'm thinking is wrong. I guess what I'm doing is the wrong approach. I guess the way this is happening really is wrong. And then be open to the mindset that's new, that's different, that says this thing is better, this thing is healthier, this thing is the right thing. You have to do that. If you don't open up the space to have that right thing be in your consciousness, then you keep leaving the curtain open to believe like you believe, respond like you believe, and act like you act continually, which is, again, only going to create and manifest additional drama. You said something else.
Go on. No, because you talk about the space, and when I think about space, I think about the space, the places and spaces that we hold in other people's lives, that we hold in their lives. And if you are always professing your righteousness about everything, you really don't leave anyone else room to stand. We all stand in what we know so far. We should stand in our convictions, be it only that they are true for us. But we should stand on them, and a real relationship in the workplace or personal or even with yourself is allowing anyone else and everyone else to have their own opinion. And it's and not even to judge it right or wrong, just is what it is.
Right, right. And that kind of, you know, you kind of answered what I was just getting ready to say. One of the things you mentioned was the lack of confidence that can accompany the behavior, the toxic and the dramatic behavior. And if you can just be more accepting of the way people think, of information that's being presented to you, or on an ongoing basis all day, of things happening the way that they are, and then choosing again how you are going to respond to it. I believe that many times when people are responding in a dramatic fashion and toxic fashions, it's their way of saying how much they don't like that it's happening. It's just a very negative approach to take to it. And what we have to do, since we cannot alter everything that's happening because life is just this ongoing, perpetual something that's happening, we have to embrace, teach ourselves, train ourselves, repeatedly remind ourselves that we are in charge of how we react, how we respond, and we can choose momently. We can choose in the moment, how we want to, need to, and should respond. And most times, it's not with escalated conversations, escalated behaviors, or launching onto the drama stage. We can choose to say things and do things that can offer us what we are really seeking, which is a more positive type of feedback from life or from people or from circumstances. And it doesn't mean that it will change in the moment necessarily. But the thing is, you begin to gain control of yourself, which rather than having it just jump out and splatter all over everybody, you gain control of many of your situations and relationships. Ultimately, if you continue the practice of it, you will find that it shakes out to be a much better and healthier existence for you.
That's true. Well, when we think about the root of drama in any situation, I'm reminded of the conversation that we had about issues. You got issues, maybe it's you. If you constantly find yourself, and drama royalty usually does, constantly find themselves in the middle of the mess, and it never feels like it's their fault, because as the author said, it's much easier to look outside ourselves. Our eyes go in that direction, to look outside ourselves and find the culprit for our lack of ease, peace, or satisfaction. But the reality is, the only way to deal with it, to check it, to squash it, to bring the curtain down on that, on the stage of drama, is to check yourself. Because if you're honest, you will find that the situations are the same. The actors change, but the situations are the same. People that are used to this kind of interaction usually have it from job to job, from relationship to relationship, the rumblings in their own mind. And the only way to deal with it is to stop and say, what if, as you said before, I'm not right? And not only what if I'm not right, but so what if I don't know all of the information? If I don't know everything, then I stand to learn something. And we should, all of us, forever be lifetime students. To know everything makes you very boring. Very boring. And to tell everybody what you know all the time about everything makes you boring and alone. Because nobody wants, I mean, for real though, nobody wants to hear that. People are going through, and they deserve to. It is their purpose here to go through life and figure it out for themselves. The only things that you own, the things that you have receipts on, are those lessons that you bought with your own experience. And granted, other people can guide you in certain situations, but you don't know it until you know it. And to enforce what you know on somebody else, again, is another prescription for drama. And it doesn't work.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Do you think that a lot of people, and this is just another aspect of it that I want to take a brief look at, do you think a lot of times that people are creating drama just for the sake of getting attention or recognition? Sometimes they, you know, I'm speaking in terms of sometimes people feel like someone is actually getting more focus on them, or they may feel some insecurities around a certain individual, and they feel jealousies or envy, kind of like what the author Lori Deshin was talking about. I made an assumption that when she talked about her friendships, that there were probably snarly things going on that had a lot to do with that. What's your thought on that? Because I do know that oftentimes friendships are laden with envy and jealousy.
Several things. Yes. To answer the question, yes, I do. But it's not as sinister though as I think people intentionally setting out to create drama. We are not, as people, taught the very valuable and powerful art of doing nothing. We feel like we need to be doing something all the time. And oftentimes when things are running smooth, like in the morning when we just get up before we have a chance to wreak havoc in our days, we will oftentimes start something, insinuate problems where there really aren't, following our own insecurities and acting out on them and creating situations that are then drama-ridden. Oftentimes, or I shouldn't say oftentimes, it's my suspicion that the only place that we will get the applause that we truly deserve and that I think all of us need is in ourselves. In other words, we have got to stop looking out and looking at other people doing themselves, living their lives, and comparing ourselves to what they appear to be doing, what they appear to have, what they appear to be experiencing. That's their path. and not ours. And the way to create those things that seem appealing, those things that we might feel jealous of or insecure about, the only way to create them is not to create a situation that then creates other negative situations that need to be dealt with, which is further clouding the issue. The only way to reach that level of okayness with yourself is to do you. It feels good when people recognize what we do. But the reality is, in many, many situations in work and relationships and even friendships, when we so desperately need it, that has a heaviness and a weight to it that people can sense and pick up on. And people will then withhold your fierceness from you. And they can withhold your fierceness from you if you give them your fierceness to give back to you, if you give them the power to do that, if you're constantly looking outside of yourself. If you're constantly looking outside of yourself, you will half time, if not three quarters of the time, come up short. Other times, you will then find people that you can feel better than to make you feel good about, but that's delusional also. It's delusional. The only thing to do in one's life is oneself.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, you said a lot, and I want to layer it with a couple of other things. I am so glad that I had a mother who was very precise and direct in the things that she thought and that she said. And when she was giving me lessons on life, one of the things she told me, you know, most people would say, you don't need to be jealous of anybody. My mother said, you are not to be jealous of anybody. You are not to be jealous of anybody. And then she went on with her list of why. Because you are everything you need to be, and you can create everything that you need to. And it's interesting because that consciousness, you would have, my mother was not a New Age thinker or even a real religious person. Mm-hmm. But that was something. She knew a lot about life lessons, though. She had a ton of things that she told me, and that was one of them. You are not to be. And she made it real clear. And, you know, when you're growing up, you're kind of scared to do anything different than what your parents tell you if they sound like they
mean it enough.
And
that's
so
right.
I didn't grow up with a feeling of competitiveness about other women. And you and I both know at this point in our lives, because we embrace and encourage and inspire and motivate women, that's part of what we do. And that's the only way I want to live. But I came to understand, yes, that if there is something that I want, I need to or want to be like or want to be, I need to figure that out, like you said, do you. So I want to encourage anybody who has that struggle with looking at other people or females or families or whatever to do your own do you list. What is it that you want? Don't base it on necessarily what the exactness of what they have or have going for themselves. If you want to be smarter, if you want to be prettier, if you want to be thinner, if you want a better place to live, if you want a nicer car, if whatever that thing is that you feel is going to fulfill you and fill out the places in your life, focus your energy and your emotion and your efforts on making those things happen. They don't all happen overnight, but you can. And work on your own self-awareness and self-confidence and self-esteem. Do the things that make you feel absolutely amazing about yourself, not just good. But look for the things that make you feel amazing about yourself. And sometimes it's the simplest of things. It could be a new haircut. It could be deciding, I'm not going to do my wardrobe this way anymore. I'm going to do it this way now. It could be that you're driving a 2003, but now you can afford a 2007. It doesn't have to be a brand new car. You have to figure that out, but not based on somebody else and so much so that it gets to the point that all of that's rolling around in your thinking, your emotions, and your effort, that whenever you approach people and have something different or what you consider better or more, all you can do is start launching into some type of mode with them. It actually just holds a real element of being ridiculous. It really does. If you step back from the stage and look at yourself, you'll see it's just ridiculous. For the most part, it's just stuff and it's just things or it's just a place, and it's not that it's unobtainable to you. Most of it is not unobtainable. That's the thing about it. You just got to figure out your own courses of action, your ways of getting there, your ways of having it like that, if that's what you really want. But you got to stop the negative behavior. You got to stop the negative thinking, because all you're going to do is continue to put yourself on that stage and continually draw negativity to you, which is not going to get you. And it just doesn't. The formula doesn't work. It's not going to get you into a positive place by being snarly, criticizing, jealous, or envious.
So, but let me layer this in a spiritual and metaphysical way. And I'm reminded of Marianne Williamson on her lecturing from A Course in Miracles. She talks about what we do as women, which is pretty much what you said. We will bring out that bitch word anytime we see someone that appears to have it going on, and that's by one's own definition. First thing we do, we look at the person, and as you say, it's just negative. When the reality is, as we talked about mental equivalence, you don't even recognize what's not familiar to you. So the reason that you see someone living large in a fine and fabulous way is because your soul recognizes the same thing for you. Metaphysically speaking, the universe's answer is always yes. I think we talked about this before. But what's your question, and how are you answering it? So I see you, and you really have it going on, and the only thing I can think to say is who she thinks she is. Now, I've seen you, and you really got it going on. But instead of supporting you and applauding you, whether I do it to your face or in my mind, however it's done, that is the question. So if I see you and I say, she thinks she got it going on, the universe says, oh, we don't like it when it's going on. No problem. I won't bless you in that way. You won't recognize that in yourself if that bothers you so much. I had occasion to speak with a group of young women just last Saturday. And I was telling them kind of the secrets of life. The topic of the name of the talk was Mind Games, because it was about changing your mind and your mindset. And I told them, as I say often, get anything you want. It's not difficult at all. All you have to do is give it away. And one would say, but wait a minute, I'm trying to get what I don't have. What am I giving away? In the situation of seeing somebody else's fierceness, you give a compliment. You give yourself the break of not cursing, damning, or condemning them. You talk about you have to figure it out. That's one thing you can do. Just stop the negative talk in your own head. Or if you hear it, if it slips out, if that B word is ever on the tip of your lips, just ready to come out, then bless them on top of that. Recognize your insecurity in the situation, but also recognize and rejoice in the fact that the reason that you see it is because it is something that you are to embody if you allow yourself to, if you stop cursing and damning your own way. As I said before, if you want anything in life, you better bless somebody. If you don't have money and you want money, then you assist somebody else on their endeavors. Whatever you want, give it away.
That's some real good advice. That's some real good advice. A lot of people probably know that, because they do that, it's not the majority. We know that that's a small part of life of individuals who really understand that, because most people are still kind of apprehensive or even selfish when it comes to giving away money. But you mm-hmm. are absolutely right. If you want it, one of the quickest, easiest ways to have it respond back to you is to bless other people. And that goes with all the other things you said, too. Not cursing, not condemning, not criticizing. Send out more positive words,
so
languaging, praise.
So it will mm-hmm. come back to you. And it is the law. It
yeah.
is the law. That is the way that it works, period. And I am right about that.
No argument from me.
Of this, I'm sure. But there's also
no
a practice
argument.
Because, as we talked about, depending upon where we have come from, and many of us have walked a very narrow path in our development in life so far. We've come through the beliefs, the fears, the information of our parents, of the world that we live in, based on what we look like, based on so many things. And for many people, there is not a very large room to stand in your oneness, in your ownness, and know anything good about yourself. And I get that. But that is not insurmountable. It takes being aware of self. And we've talked about this before. The best way to do that is you've got to, at some point in time, shut out the noise, turn it off, and turn you up. You've got to begin to start hearing the thoughts in your head. We've talked about this also. One of the best ways that I know to do that is to journal. It is where you really get to bust yourself in a loving way. Sometimes some things need to be seen before they are said. Sometimes we don't check ourselves. We just run around just showing the world how unhealthy we are or how unevolved we are. But it
mm-hmm.
happens when you really begin to hear what's going on in your head. And it is not impossible. And maybe you can't stop it before the thought forms. Or maybe you can't keep from coming out your mouth. But once you hear it, you can always go back and correct it. And in doing that, eventually you can get ahead of it. It changes. If you challenge yourself to bless not only somebody else's life but your own, and that doesn't mean that you stay where you are. It means that you are thankful. And if you can be trusted with a little, you will get a lot. Again, that's a law.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Cassandra, we have talked a lot about how we can put ourselves on that stage and how we can create our own drama. What about the people who say, there's, you know, they bring me drama. These people are just dramatic people, and, you know, they're the ones that are creating it. In the article that I read by, again, Lori DeShane, she said, maybe you have people who are always bringing problems to you or drama to you. What are we going to say in regard to that? Because we know that that is reality. I can kind of start off telling you telling the audience and you some of my thoughts. I know that I have decisively put myself in a position at this point in life that I won't allow it. If it's not somebody I dearly love, a close friend, family member, I am so not going into being one of the actors on the stage. It's just not what I'm going to do, nor even if it's any of the above of what I've just mentioned. I'm more of the person who is going to listen. I'm going to offer some maybe solutions, if that's what you're asking, or responses that I feel could be effective in minimizing what you're going through. If none of that works, then I have another approach that's called, okay, I love you, but I'm going to love you from a distance because we're not going to be doing this on a regular basis. I really just don't have the time to take myself into the escalated zone on a daily basis with anybody, not for, you know, any real length of time. And then it begins to mess up what you're trying to do with yourself. So if I can't help by listening and offering solutions, unfortunately, I've made a decision that I have to create some distance and even have had to sever some relationships as a result of, you know, too much of what I call unnecessary drama that was being brought, you know, to my phone or my door.
You're absolutely right, Silver. Just say no. Just say no. You can say no, thank you, but just say no. And you have the right to do that. As a matter of fact, I would offer that, and if that is your declaration, if that's what you decide to do, you can expect drama to come in droves. And it is a loving way. It's the universe's way to enable you to build your muscle of resolve, to say mm-hmm. no. Anything, and so there are maybe we live with a drama star in our home. Maybe we work with drama stars in our workplace, and we can't avoid them. But you can always change the way you see a situation. I heard a preacher, teacher say once that hurt people hurt people. And if someone's mm-hmm. hurting, the first thing that I feel for that person is compassion. A lot of times their hurt spills out in painful ways towards other people. But where is that coming from? If you cannot internalize it, because it's really all about you, it just really is. Whatever somebody's doing to you is just really all about you. And being all about you means you have the ability and the responsibility to say no. How do you say no? You look at this person, they're hurting. Forgive them, for they know not what they do, and they will be dealt with. But not by you. But you don't have to. And when I say they will be dealt with, because we are all paving the path that we are walking on individually. And so if a person seems to be hell-bent on insinuating drama in your life and their life and whatever, that's what they are creating for themselves. As you said, if they are asking for assistance, give it if you can. But the thing that you should not do is internalize it, wherever it comes from. You know, 1 + 1 = 2. But if you change from being 1, if you expand yourself to be 5, then the equation changes. If you change, it changes. A lot of people want pity parties, but if you are positive and won't play that game with them, I promise you they're going to start calling you. They don't want to be positive. They want to wallow in the madness. But if you won't wallow with them, you won't have to do a thing. They'll leave you alone. It's all about you. You being mm-hmm. all of us. And our own personal declarations. And again, when we decide to do a thing or act on a thing and we are challenged, embrace that, because it's an opportunity to build our muscle of resolve. That's all it is. That's all it is.
And if that can truly be understood, I know from, as I said, working with people, what a challenge it can be to recognize in the moment the things that can be done to disengage, to keep the launch into drama from happening. I know how challenging and how difficult that can be. I hope that we have said enough for any individual who recognizes either there's a drama perpetrator or they're the person that it's being brought to, that when it starts, however it starts, you've got to be the one that steps up in your own thinking and grabs hold of it like you're trying to choke it to death in your the thought, like you're trying to choke it to death and let it know, no, we're not going there. Mm-hmm. For the person who's the perpetrator, You only have to stop and recognize that there have been plenty of ongoing negative things that keep occurring, situations and relationships that you keep sabotaging, you getting in the way of your own plans, goals, and success, to know that you've got to do something. And I don't say that from any kind of judgmental perspective. I don't say it in that manner, because I don't feel like that's the purpose behind this conversation. The purpose behind it is because you, Cassandra, I know, plenty of people know, people who are listening know, it's a real beast. It's a real thing, and it really will get in the way of your best living. And so that's why it's very important. If you want to have a life that feels better, that feels good, that feels wonderful to you, that feels easier, that the course feels more like you can really ease on down the road, then these are things that you have to stop about, because stop doing, because you literally are cutting yourself off at the path by doing these particular behaviors, and they are not out of your ability to be able to monitor and to manage, to maneuver, to change. It may take some good work, work at work, homework, constant working to do it, but the outcomes, the value, the muscle that you spoke of, it's so worth it. And then when you begin to see that people are loving on you instead of running from you, begin to see that people are attracted to you and situations are attracted to you and things are happening for you differently just because you decided, I'm stopping the show, bringing the curtain down on this. It's really that easy. In the sense of that's where what happens when you do stop, when you tell yourself stop it. It will take a continuous work to remind yourself. As soon as you feel that thing rising up in you or those thoughts, you know, again, getting ready to splatter all over a person, you've got to reel yourself in and say no. No, I know that's not going to do anything but ruin the moment. It's going to ruin the relationship or make things bad. You got to remind yourself there is a better way, and you are more than capable of doing these things that we have talked about today.
You know, Silver, and I would say, and do it with compassion for yourself. I say to myself sometimes, I talk out loud because I live alone, and I can do that. Stan, you know you're tripping. You know you're silly, but that's okay. You're getting better. The beast is in us. Even if it seems as though someone is always bringing us the drama, if we recognize it, it is us that need to be tamed, no one else. But do it, tame yourself with compassion, with love, and with support. It is said that, you know, if you don't look at something, it'll go away. And I say look at the beast, look at the evil, look at the negativity, and bless it. And know that you have acted out in ways like this because you simply didn't know any better. And that's okay. But now, know enough to know something other. If you don't know better yet, know something other. And knowing something other or learning something other is always done by, I should say, is easily done or best done by asking questions of yourself. Now, why did you do that? Now, why did I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to do this. And also, as we've talked about before, and it seems like we're always having many facets of the same conversation, which I feel is right because it's truth. We talked about this before. You've got to feed yourself. You've got to get some good information that can be reading. If you're too unhealthy to have positive conversations with somebody else at this time, it can be done by reading. It can be done by association with people. If you see somebody that's living large and really got it going on, instead of standing back and judging them, run to them and embrace them.
everybody likes to feel good. So if you go yeah. and say, I see what you're doing and I love what you're doing, can we talk sometimes? Most people will honor that and be glad to share what you see with them. But you
yeah.
don't get what
yeah.
you want by cursing what you see.
That's for sure. That's for sure. Well, I want to summarize a few of the things, Cassandra, that we have said today, and please add whatever you like. But I want to say these things to those who are listening. Again, we did the show today to offer a different perspective on drama that may be occurring in your life. Do we have all the answers? No, because we don't know all of the circumstances or all of the situations or all of the persons and personalities involved. However, we do attempt to share knowledge and experience that we have had in our own lives with other and with other people, and can confidently offer thoughts and, again, perspectives on ways that things like this can be handled. One of the things that comes to me first to say is that you got to calm down. And when I say that, that's something that's, again, the first work in you. You just got to tell yourself that nothing else is working that you're doing, and you just need to calm down. And that may be easier said than done, perhaps, but you need to just remind yourself, I need to shut off, turn off, like Cassandra said, the thinking and the things that I am doing that are making things much more difficult in my life than they have to be. And another thing that was said, Cassandra, you said this, forgive yourself. I think it's so important, because anybody who is perpetrating drama often, they've done a lot of damage. There's no question. And so you're going to have to forgive yourself. Everybody that you know that has been hurt or been a part of the destruction, they may not forgive you. But the point is, you've got to begin with forgiving yourself, whether they do or not. I think it is okay and recommended that if you can reach out and ask them to forgive you, and if they do, wonderful, and if they don't, still forgive yourself. But none of us are perfect. We do a lot of things wrong in life, and a lot of us cause a lot of damage in life as well. But you have to be forgiving. You have to love yourself nonetheless, and know that in the human makeup, existence, and beings that we are, we do make mistakes. And when we don't know other behaviors until we do, we're prone to create situations that can be potentially negative. So forgive yourself for anything that you may have done to anybody. And if you know you've caused hurt and pain for anybody else, be a big enough person and make the right steps to ask for the forgiveness from them as well. And then do what works. All of what we have been talking about, the things that we have shared today, you know, stop talking. And I literally mean that. If you have to help yourself at first by being in environments where you just don't say anything for a while until you start retraining yourself, you just got to stop engaging. Stop saying anything if you know, again, it's going to splatter all over everybody in the wrong way. And then I suggest that you write down what you know are the appropriate behaviors. And when I say write down, if you have to write it 1,000 times to remind yourself, I will not say negative things anymore. If you have to write that down 1,000 times, or I will never challenge people about what the things that they are doing in their lives. I will not be jealous of so-and-so. If you have to write that down 1,000 times until you get it in your consciousness, then I suggest that you do that. And again, just listen and stop being judgmental and criticizing, and be responsible for your own actions in these interactions. And choose to want to, again, be a better individual, because you need to be that for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would add to that only two things. First of all, you won't have to write it 1,000 times, because it will be ingrained in you long before that. But secondly, if you are challenging yourself to stop responding, then I would encourage people to start listening, not just to what's being said, but to those thoughts in your own head. And then lovingly challenge them. to be positive, to be better. And even if you can't say it yet, but it's really important, Silver. So many of us are disconnected from self, which is the root of most of the frustration, if not all of it, and certainly the drama in our lives. It's a disconnect. It's a personal disconnect because we act in response habitually without even hearing sometimes or thinking or even knowing what's going on. Things are seldom as they appear to us and maybe never as they appear to us if we're looking at someone else. So if you are going to challenge yourself with stillness, listen to the thoughts in your own head so you can get an idea of what you've been bringing to the situation.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we are well out of time, Cassandra. I want to thank you for...
It always happens that way.
I know. I want to thank you so much for managing to include Foxology in your schedule of things to do. I really appreciate it. I appreciate your perspective and heart for what you know gets accomplished when we have these conversations. It's meant to inspire, to enlighten, and to motivate people to, again, live at their best, and I really appreciate that you bring your experience and your what you know so far every time we have the opportunity to talk. So I hope you have the most marvelous day, and I'm going to look forward to talking to you again real, real soon. People, be sure you check Cassandra out. She's on weekdays, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, one of the grand hosts of Real Milwaukee, and it does stream live. All that information is available on the website for blogtalkradio.com/Foxology. You can find it there. You will truly enjoy the element and the wonderfulness is about all I can call it. You just bring wonder to the show. So
well, thank you.
Check it out.
I am just sharing. I just share what I know so far for one's contemplation because it helps me because I am yet learning.
We are all a work in progress. We can't forget that. So, but again, I thank you so much, and I'll call you a little later.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye, sis. And I want to thank you, listeners. Again, I've been on a little bit of a hiatus, but I'm back, and we're going to be doing Foxology weekly, as I had been doing. I did take a short little break. It was actually kind of needed at first. I thought maybe, when I ran into a couple of issues with some technology and had a couple of my guests had some problems with the scheduling. I you want to feel a little bit like, oh, frantic, but then you realize, well, all things are working together for good. And actually, even though it was, just a small part of the day, any time when you can find yourself a little bit more mentally at rest, it's a good thing. So I took the opportunity to take a short break from the show as a result. So, but anyway, as I said, I'm back and you are too, and I'm really glad about it. Looking forward to moving into the second half of the year with some more exciting guests and information that I'll be sharing. I hope that you will tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Google+ and all those other places where you reside in cyberspace. I'd appreciate you telling them about Foxology. In the meantime, I am going to wish you the best and most blessed day. And remember, if you are challenged with getting unraveled and coming apart at the seams and generating drama because of old habits, remember, there really is a way to overcome it. Just keep thinking in your mind, I don't want to be right, I just want to be right. You want your life to feel good, wonderful. You want the right results, the right outcomes on any given day. And I know that you can make that happen. Again, have the best and most blessed day, and thank you so much for listening.